From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Outgoing Washington Transportation Secretary Paula Hammond. She's been under her current job since 2007. She's been with the department for 30 years. Her last day is Friday. She joins us for an exit interview.
34 years.
She just corrected me. 34 years on the job at the Department of Transportation. It was probably 30 years the first time I talked to you. Perhaps that was why. It's a big job. The State Department of Transportation has 7,200 employees. It's responsible for 20,000 lane miles of highways, for 3,500 bridges, for general aviation airports, for passenger and freight rail programs, not to mention the state's largest state ferry system. Paula Hammond, welcome back. Thanks for being with
us. Good afternoon. Thank you.
34 years
and
leaving, that's got to have a lot of mixed emotions.
Yeah,
in it.
Flew by in an instant, actually. I came to work as a brand new engineer out of Oregon State University and worked my way through just about every job in the department, and have culminated in this last job as secretary for the last 5.5 years. It's been great.
What are you not going to miss?
Well, I wouldn't want to say media, but
certainly not us.
No, what I'm not going to miss, I think, is the sentiment and the tone of how some people go after state employees and governmental employees who are really trying to do their best every single day. And so, you know, it's gotten a little bit caustic in the last few years. And I know the recession has turned a lot of people sour on government. But it used to be a great profession, or people respected the fact that you were a public servant. And lately it's been tough for our folks and public servants all across the United States.
Why do you suppose it is that a handful of bad headlines of critical stories can sort of wash away any good work that's being done?
Well, I think that there are folks who, for whether it's political reasons or just because sometimes it's fun to pick on somebody who's doing well, that it's always a bigger headline when something bad goes wrong, mm-hmm. and it's always a very small headline or no headline when many, many good things happen. So, you take what you get, and I certainly understand that. But I think there's a tone lately that disappoints me a lot in trying to entice young people into public service, because I'm not sure why they'd want to work for government these days.
It's a tough job, that's for sure. Last time we talked, I believe you had fondly hoped that you would be able to keep this job. Tell me about the conversation. Did you have it with Governor Inslee in person? Did he tell you that he was not going to reappoint you, and did he tell you why?
Yes, Governor Inslee and I met several times, and we both liked each other very much. I think in the end, his conversation with me oriented around the kinds of things he wanted to do with a fresh start, not just in transportation, but across the state agencies. And what he shared with me was his interest in finding a person whose values most closely aligned to his and the kinds of things he was interested in doing in transportation. And he probably thought that wasn't a good fit for he and I, which I totally respect, which is totally his call. And I wish he and the new secretary well.
Was there anything specific that he mentioned that he wanted to see in a new secretary that he thought that maybe you couldn't bring, some direction he wants to move the department in that it has not been going in?
No, we didn't get into that level of conversation.
Let's talk a little bit about the details of your job, because you're still on the job at least until Friday. A success and a failure I'd like to talk about with you. A major project to reroute Amtrak trains through DuPont and Lakewood in South Dakota has gotten federal approval. You've called this a big win. The trains will go faster. But Lakewood officials are pretty outspoken about being fearful about this. They may even take the state to court on this. They say it's going to pose a safety hazard to folks there with those trains whipping through. What do you say to that?
Well, I know there's been concern in the Lakewood and DuPont area to have the Amtrak Cascades trains go on that new alignment. We call it D to M Street, but it's the not going around Point Defiance any longer. This project is one part of a major corridor set of improvements, $800 million that we received a grant from the federal government under the ARRA high-speed rail program to improve Burlington Northern's tracks, to improve so that we could have freight and passengers cohabitate in a better way, to provide better passenger service between Eugene, Oregon and Vancouver, BC. So our Amtrak's Cascade program has been incrementally growing in service and ridership since 1994. States contributed heavily in that. This one piece of cutting off that go around the horn at Point Defiance is going to help us with better speeds, better reliability, and make that a viable travel choice for folks between Seattle and Portland when we have more round trips. Today we have 4 between Seattle and Portland, 8 round trips between Seattle and Vancouver, BC. We'll be increasing round trips as we make these capital improvements on the tracks.
There have been dozens of delays on the rail traffic going north from here. It's affected Amtrak. It's affected Sound Transit. These are Burlington Northern lines. Why has the state kind of been unable to get the situation fixed? Obviously, there are alignments that aren't working. They get flooded out so often.
Right. We have a lot of slides up between Seattle and Everett, right in those high cliff areas. And we had a moment, us, Burlington Northern, Santa Fe, and Sound Transit, who've all been impacted by these slides. And I called it our enough is enough moment. And we've met, we have decided and worked with Federal Rail Administration to help us cause or cure some of the causes of those slides today. The local jurisdictions alongside and some of the homeowners who currently have drainage that goes into those slopes, it's something we're all concerned about. So we've formed a working group. We have $16 million that Federal Rail Administration has allowed us to spend out of that $800 million to try and get after some of the most dangerous or at least the most frequent slides so that we can make improvements to stop having our traffic stopped. It's untenable to not be able to put your Amtrak passengers through on the train that they bought a ticket for and for to have them end up in Vancouver, BC via bus.
Well, $60 million sounds like a lot of money, but I have no idea what the total goal is here. Is it enough to deal with these problems? You're talking about inputs into dealing with the problem. What would the outputs be? Will we not have these problems next year?
We have 6 major slides that we're looking at right now. We've had our geotechnical engineers out there with the Burlington Northern folks. This is on their right of way. So we're working with the private company in a public-private partnership to try and figure out how we can help improve our reliability of our passenger trains. Sound Transit needs their commuter rail trains to make that trip as well. And BN is impacted because some of the freight they're trying to move is also impacted. So we're trying a partnership approach to go after the 6 major slides. Probably isn't all of them. We've had such extreme weather in the last several years that we have to now figure out how to stop those kinds of impacts and deal with the problems, just like we have slides up in our mountain passes on the highways, and go after the worst first, figure out what to do next, and see what's causing them, from whether it's drainage or certain kinds of soil conditions up above that we can make those kind of improvements on. So it's a work in progress, but we've had just a tremendous amount of stoppages over the last few years. And as I said, it's enough is enough, and we've got to get that fixed.
Paula Hammond is my guest. Friday is her last day as Secretary of Transportation in Washington State. One of the things you had to do recently was concede the state had some partial responsibility for some big cost overruns on those pontoons to support the 520 bridge. What went wrong?
Well, not cost overruns yet on our budget, but more cost than we would like to spend.
Well, cost overruns on the pontoon part of the budget.
Well, yeah, and that's yet to be determined. The real problem is we had some mistakes in our pontoon design. And so the issue there in the replacement of the 520 corridor and in our efforts to try and get this project delivered quickly because of the risk of wind wave action on the old bridge and the earthquake potential and the concern we have for that, we went very quickly after trying to get a replacement structure. And 33 pontoons were designed and are being built down in Aberdeen, Washington, and the other 44 are being built up in Tacoma. And in our first 6 pontoons, 4 of those pontoons had cracks that were unexpected and cracks that needed repair and some retrofitting of the design and modifications to future designs so that we didn't have those kinds of conditions in the future. So that bridge will be a bridge that will live and be sustained for 75 years. Since May 11th, when those cracks were discovered after post-tensioning, we have been working nonstop, first to figure out what was causing it, how do we make repairs, what do we have to do to make the design modifications to have the future pontoons be safe and sound, and we brought in experts to help us validate that the pontoons would be safe and sound and serve for 75 years. after that, then once we got that under control, we're trying to, I had an internal review done to say what the heck happened and how can we as WSDOT ensure that the role that we played in this never happens again.
It was my impression from just reading accounts of it. It was a case of a lot of change orders, a lot of shifts in what the state wanted, and that caused this. Is that correct?
Well, if you recall how the whole project came together, there was a lot of mediation with neighborhoods and corridor partners, legislators, and the governor, and the department worked with a lot of stakeholders to figure out what was it we were building. And as those modifications in those designs came about, we learned that we were to design a single row of pontoons with flanker pontoons that would then allow in the future, or at least not prohibit the addition of light rail someday in the future. So there were some design and fit kinds of changes late in the game, but we designed the pontoons, and we have to bear the responsibility for the flaw in the design. And as it turns out, that's what we've been dealing with since May of last year.
And the 520 Bridge project was coming in under budget. Do you think it still will be in under budget even with these additional expenses?
I think so. We got very good bids because, in fact, when our contractors in the design build bid that they gave us, when they said, we'll take the option where we use your design, your pontoon design, we got a bid for that first pontoon contract that was $189 million less than what we had estimated. So basically what that means is we bought back the risk of the design, and the contractor said, okay, I'll give you a good price, but you bear the risk of the design. We didn't even imagine that we would have the kind of problem that we had, or that it would take us this long to sort out what the flaw was and what we do to fix it in the retrofits now that we're going to do.
You're listening to Paula Hammond. She's been Secretary of Transportation since 2007, and she's on her way out this Friday. Maybe you've got a question or comment for her at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. She's been in the hot seat on a number of high-profile transportation projects, including the tunnel underneath Seattle to replace the Alaskan Way Viaduct, and a project we don't talk too much about here in Seattle, although I think it's a major deal. It's the Columbia Crossing Bridge, which between Oregon and Washington. It probably gets more attention in Oregon because it's closer to Portland, where there's a lot more media, and it's kind of a bit far away from Seattle, where there's a concentration of media. As I understand it, the Oregon legislature has pledged funding for their part of it. Is it time for Washington State to pony up? Is it going to be approved in this legislative session? Does it have to be approved this year?
Well, that's right. Oregon is in the process. They may have already made their vote to put in their budget their $450 million share of the state cost of the project. The project is about a $3.1 billion project. We're replacing the Interstate 5 lift spans between Vancouver and Portland. The northbound bridge is almost 100 years old. 1917 is when that bridge was built. And it's time to be replaced. No shoulders, narrow lanes. You can't cross with a bike or walk without taking your life in danger. So the new structure is going to serve both the Portland and Vancouver ports, the freight movement, the growth, all of the population growth we expect in the next 20 years, something like 1 million more people down in the Vancouver-Portland area. And so we're trying to modernize this facility. Oregon is to pledge $450 million. Washington needs to pledge their $450 million. And we're on the cusp of getting this year, if we get our share, the $850 million federal rail grant that provides the money for the light rail for the bridge.
You're in Olympia. You're closer to it. You say Washington needs to do this. What's your read on the legislature? Are they going to approve this money? There are a lot of demands on the legislature for money this year.
That's right. I hope they do approve it because this is our opportunity to replace this bridge for $450 million of statewide funds, which is a pretty good buy. The bridge will be tolled, so just like 520, we'll have a local share contribution. I hope it happens because otherwise we'll wait for a number of years before we figure out how to replace that aging and vulnerable bridge.
Steve's on the line from Monroe. Steve, what's your question for outgoing Transportation Secretary Paula Hammond?
Hi, yes. My question is, the new bridge will last 75 years. When will the current toll pay for it? And then will that toll stay on for other projects?
You're talking about the 520 bridge, Steve?
Yes.
The bonds that we purchased, that the tolls will replace, are 30-year bonds. So if you can think about the life of that debt service, I anticipate it will be somewhere in that time frame. I suppose if we had higher volumes, we would pay the bond off sooner, but somewhere in that time zone. The legislature left open the question of whether or not tolls would remain after the 30 years, whereas on the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, the law reads that the tolls will be eliminated once the debt is paid. I think my view and my prediction is that within 30 years from now, we'll be paying for transportation use wholly differently than we do today, and you'll see a whole different kind of charging for user fees. I don't know whether tolling directly will be a part of that or some sort of a mileage-based user fee.
Steve, thanks a lot for your phone call. I really appreciate it. You just got a couple days left, Paula. Anything you'd like to kind of tell us that you felt uncomfortable telling us in previous interviews while you were still totally on the job?
Oh, funny. Those who know me know I don't hold much back, and I pretty much say what I think, which probably gets me in trouble more often than not. I guess the one thing I would want to reflect on is that the dangers that are highway workers go, encounter as they do their work is not often thought about by the public. In fact, in the last 3 years alone, 14 of our employees have been hit on the job on the highway. We use things now differently than we did when I started at the department to try and protect workers in work zones. We have traffic-mounted attenuators, trucks that have the sort of reflection that can absorb energy if a car hits them. In those 3 years, 74 times our attenuators have been hit. And I guess what I would ask people to do in the future is to be careful as they drive through a work zone. If you see the orange barrels and the cones and the folks wearing the reflective gear, that means that's a human life, and I'd like them to take it easy and take it slow so that person can go home alive at the end of the night.
What's your advice for your successor, Lynn Peterson, who comes as a transportation advisory to Oregon Governor Kitzhaber? What have you found?
Well, I would advise Lynn to make sure that she listens to the citizens as they talk about transportation. One of the greatest joys
I talk so loudly and they say so many different things.
Well, sometimes they do and sometimes they're angry, but I get so many emails from people that I enjoy personally writing back to and having a dialogue with. And I learn something, and that person usually learns something. Sometimes it doesn't resolve itself, but it's really fun for me to try and solve problems every single day. And I hope that she takes that same kind of an approach, because when you think about our transportation system, it's really a series of a lot of problems and issues and opportunities for people to get around to where they're trying to recreate or do their jobs or move their business goods. And if she can take that approach and really try and work to solve those problems, she's going to do great.
What's next for Paula Hammond? Do you want to stay in this area of transportation? There's this opening on the Seattle Port Commission.
Well, I don't know what else I would do if I didn't stay in transportation, and I have a lot of passions in this area. So I expect I'll turn up. I'm going to take a month off and clear my head and not answer the phone, and then figure out what I want to do next.
Are you ruling out the Seattle Port Commission?
I don't live in Seattle, so that might be a problem.
Hey, thanks you so much for stopping by.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Paula Hammond, outgoing Secretary of Transportation in Washington State. Her last day on the job is going to be Friday. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.